This morning I want to talk about the name Schuller. Schuller is a name that for the last 70 to 80 years has been a most honored and respected name in the circles of fundamental evangelism. Dr. Phil Schuller was born in 1924. He came from good stock. His dad was Robert Schuller, Fighting Bob Schuller. He was an old-time Methodist who dared to stand for the truth in a very difficult day when most other Bible believers in his denomination, almost all in his denomination, were hiding, maybe figuratively and literally, under their beds. He built, Fighting Bob Schuller built Trinity Methodist Church, the largest church, largest Methodist church in the country, in Los Angeles in the 20s and the 30s. While leading a fight against corruption in high office, he got many evil men removed from office, and more importantly, a lot of good men came into office because of that. He also was jailed three times for free speech, we'll say, as you would know probably, but because of his battles against the immoral and godless William Randolph Hearst. And That's where he got his name, Fighting Bob. William Randolph Hearst was a wicked man, and you may remember Dr. Phil Schuller telling his stories about how that literally his dad's office was bombed. One time they had a shootout with Hearst's henchmen in their right in front of their house. Literally a shootout with guns blazing. But Bob Schuller had three boys, and his oldest was Bob Jr. He entered the liberal Methodist denomination as a pastor. Jack Schuller would initially be his most well-known son, and he entered citywide evangelism in the 40s and 50s. This is a little-known thing. I think we don't know much about Jack Schuller's ministry, but those who follow his ministry claim that he saw over 1 million souls saved during his evangelistic crusades. He died at the age of 45 of a lung disease. But Phil, the youngest of Bob Schuller, was born in 1924. He was saved under his father's ministry. He was actually called to preach under the ministry of his brother Jack. His education was interrupted in World War II, where he served in the Navy for 3.5 years, served in the Pacific. He actually was part in 9 invasions as a member of the invading landing party. Upon returning from the war, he entered Bob Jones College in Cleveland, Tennessee, and there he rekindled his romance with his childhood sweetheart, Marie Lemon. And in 1948, they were married. They have 2 daughters, Debbie and Julie, both of whom married pastors. Phil began preaching revivals in 1948 with his school buddy, Glenn Shunk, and you heard evangelists recently refer to Glenn Shunk, and we'll talk about him someday, a tremendous man of God. But they actually, to make ends meet, the two of them sold Watkins products. I suppose that's like the door-to-door brush salesman. And so this is the 1940s in South Carolina. And they sold door-to-door Watkins products and to make ends meet. And in that time, they met, it just so happened, they would preach, but they weren't heard of, but they met several black preachers that had churches there in the South, and those men invited them to hold revivals in their churches. And so the first of many was at Briar Creek, a Briar Patch Baptist Church in War Shoal, South Carolina. And Dr. Schuller decided from that point on, no matter how poor the church, and this is the old South, so this may sound funny to us, but he scheduled 6 to 10 meetings with just small black churches for the rest of his ministry to be a help to them. Upon graduation, as I said, in 1950, he entered evangelism as a member of his brother's evangelistic team. He was his advanced man. Marie was the organist and pianist of the team. They stayed with Jack Schuller for almost 2 years, and then Phil Schuller began his own citywide meetings in 1952. Also in 1952, he began the practice of holding a dozen meetings a year in churches that had less than 50 members. And you've heard that said, but one of the churches that was blessed by that that philosophy was our church in the early days. And he came to preach here very early on when the church was very small. He continued his practice until his death. This was a very rewarding ministry, and I think there are many, many large churches like ours with great outreaches that really would claim to go back to that day and maybe. Dr. Schuller's help gave us a head start there, gave us a push there. But he was a Methodist when he began his ministry in the 50s, like his famous father. But modernism was so rampant that he became an independent Baptist in 1957. And Dr. Schuller served God for more than 60 years. I have statistics from 1983. There, I don't find statistics past that. But in 1983, he had seen over 90,000 souls saved, over 13,000 young people called into full-time service, and, of course, countless Christians strengthened and rededicated for service, but just amazing, amazing ministry. He was the author of over 450 gospel songs. He would sing those songs nightly in his meetings. We were blessed by that. And his wife, Marie, would play the organ. She'd play the piano. I think we mostly just saw her play the piano because we had such a great organist. We didn't need her over at the organ. But she actually was the talent of the two. At the age of 18, she was the pianist in his father's, Bob Schuller's, church. That church ran 6,400 at that time. And she was 12 years old when she was a pianist in that church. She entered the Los Angeles Conservatory of Music, graduated from there with honors. Then she entered later Bob Jones College again, where she married Dr. Schuller. She was actually Bob Jones Sr.'s private accompanist on his radio programs. But the reputation of Phil Schuller for all these years is a spotless one. He was courageous. He was faithful to God's word, and what a blessing he has been to our church over 40 years. A year or so before he died, he went to my dad's church in Illinois to preach a week of meetings, and he was preaching his life story that night. I just talked to my dad and mom this morning about this again. But he was giving an illustration and suddenly lost his way. And he was suddenly giving a part of a sermon from another sermon. And he finished the sermon. He came. My dad helped him off the platform. And he sat down next to Mrs. Schuller. He called her mother. And he said, "I messed up, didn't I, mother?" And she said, "It's okay, Phil." And he never preached again. To this day, my dad feels it's a great honor to have heard his last sermons. But what's interesting for us is he was coming here to preach that year, that next Sunday, for our anniversary service, and he had to cancel and never preached again. And so that was in probably 2007, I'm going to think, maybe 2008. But he was pure in life, sterling in character, absolutely true in his doctrine, faithful to the one who had called him to preach. And he'd been in poor health for at least a year or so. And he went home to be with the Lord on June 19, 2009. And he'll be sorely missed by all who knew him. I personally miss him greatly, as many of you do, I'm sure. And I would just recommend, if you don't know him or weren't here in the church when he was here and preached for us, to go to the bookstore and order some of his sermons. You'll be greatly blessed. Very unique man. And there's some things you have to get used to. He had a great a vocal injury in very young age, and so he's hard to listen to at first, especially on recording. But you listen to him, and I could recommend his life testimony. You can even find his life testimony on YouTube and see him preaching there. But I want to thank the Lord for this great man of God and the man who was very close, near and dear to our hearts here in our church, Dr. Phil Schuller.